Hey everyone, welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. Really excited to bring you Beverly Cornell today because, as an entrepreneur, so many people that I know that I speak to struggle with this issue. So, our guest today is the founder and brand clarity fairy godmother at Wickedly Branded. And for me, when I first started this journey of the social media, the mastery, posting and how to do it's so frustrating because A, you don't feel like anyone reads your stuff. B, nobody really likes or comments. And C, it's like, what am I doing wrong? And Beverly is so gracefully gonna talk about all of this today, and we're gonna help you guys figure out your why. We're gonna bring in consistency. We're gonna bring in who you're talking to. What are you saying? And so you're gonna want to stick around for this episode. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you to Spreaker and iHeartRadio for your support, and to our audience, to our fans, to our supporters. Please just do not forget to like and subscribe, because without you, we cannot continue to grow, and we need you to like and subscribe. Beverly, it's really good to see you again. I'm still buzzing from our last conversation, so this is perfect.
Lisa, it was so fun. I'm so glad to be here again with you today. I love this topic, and I love helping entrepreneurs really get that clarity that is so important. Oftentimes we as I heard you say, you're shouting to the void, and you're like, no one's connecting with your posts, and you hear you spent all this time. And as an entrepreneur, we just don't have a ton of time to spend on stuff that just is not landing. So all the entrepreneurs I've worked with hundreds of entrepreneurs, have been in the same boat, and we've helped them kind of get out of that. But just know too, like, there's a lot of lurkers on social media that just consume your content and don't engage. But that's a very different conversation that we're going to have today. I always say, Lisa, that my business began with boxes, cardboard boxes, because my husband was an active duty, he is an active duty Army soldier, and we moved every 3 years. And I needed a job that could move with me, so I accidentally created one. I'm an accidental entrepreneur. But here's the deeper truth in all of that. I was doing marketing for lots of clients. I was freelancing. I was working really hard. I was grinding away in the hustle. I really was, and I was doing marketing for everyone. But just like the cobbler's kids, they have no shoes. I wasn't giving my own brand any love. In fact, I was really neglecting it. And maybe even, if I was really honest, on purpose. And why was that? Well, because as a generalist doing all of the things, I couldn't really put my finger on what made me different. Except I knew this: I was more than a marketer. I loved digging into my clients' businesses and finding places where they were leaving money on the table, where they lacked clarity, and where they weren't being authentic, and where they were not showing up with confidence. So, after a lot of thought, and some late nights and a lot of struggles, actually, it's when it clicked. I wasn't just a marketer, I was a clarity catalyst, or now fondly called the fairy godmother of brand clarity. So,
Yes.
I mean, I could be a clarity catalyst, but I feel like fairy godmother is much more fun. And I do legitimately have a wand, so I feel like that's a solid choice. But here's my little confession. So being a cobbler's kid with no shoes, I thought, well, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm so intentional and so on purpose with what I do with my business. I'm going to choose to have Louis Vuitton shoes of marketing. I wanted polished and powerful, and the kind that you imagine yourself wearing, that are like the most successful looking Louis Vuittons. That's the kind of marketing I wanted. But as I stepped even deeper into my personal truth, my personal experience, the world that I was living in, what I was good at, I realized that I didn't need designer shoes from someone else. What I really wanted was to be the best case study for my clients and to show them what was possible when you stop hiding. So instead of those Louis Vuitton heels that are really expensive and can be kind of uncomfortable as well. I laced up my own pair of magical iridescent shoes of my own making, the kind that shimmer with the authenticity of my business, the strategy and sparkle and success, and just the best amount of magic for my business. So I didn't just brand others. I became my own best case study, my own best story of how you come out of the minutiae of all the work and find the clarity and get the confidence and create that momentum that is really magical at the end of the rainbow, the Emerald City of momentum, I feel like. So the realization changed everything for me, not just for my brand, but for my confidence and how I showed up to the world and how I helped my clients and how I talked about these things with people like you, Lisa. And that's really why I'm here today, is to help others have some moments of clarity to be able to get to a place where it doesn't feel so hard and doesn't feel so like shouting in the void, like you talked about. Like nobody, it's not landing with anyone. So I have a little bit of a challenge. Again, if you're driving, you have to wait to do this. Please don't do this while you're driving. But I would love for you got for the listeners to grab a piece of paper, maybe even on their notes on their phone, to write down a couple things. I want you to list out, what do I currently offer? What are the services that I offer? And then I want you to list out, what do I love doing? You can even just circle the things that you love to do on that list. And what do my clients rave about? And then any of the overlapping ones, that is where the magic begins for you. And then the last thing I want to ask you, because this is where it hit hard for me as the marketer, was what part of my brand have I been neglecting and why? Because there's something in there that will give you even more clarity. There's a reason why you're not showing up. There's a reason why you're not talking about that thing. There's a reason why you're not doing that thing. And it might be confidence. It might be that I don't know how to do it. It might be all kinds of things, but at least acknowledge it. And then the next step might be to do the thing, figure it out, right? Whatever that is. So that's really, I think, the first step is to really find those overlaps, to find out where your magic sits. That's the very first step. And once you kind of see that, then I feel like the clarity comes a little bit clearer. It's like a diamond. Now we've got like one side of it polished, right? But there's many more sides, Lisa. The second side is how you want to be known. This is a question that really changed how I view my business, how I view what we do, what we talk about, is how do I want to be known? At the time when I was really, this is the thing. I was giving this advice to other people, and I had this like whole out of body experience. One day I was talking to a fella who does, he's like a fractional CFO. And I was like, you should be on a podcast and you should do this and you should do that. And it'll really build your authority and you'll be able to have access to people you wouldn't normally have access to. And I was like telling all these things. And I literally like left my body and was looking at the conversation. And was like, why are you not following your own advice? What is holding you back? And I didn't have a clear answer for who I was to my audience. I was certainly not owning my space. So I started asking myself some really hard questions. If I could be known for any one thing in my industry, what would it be? I realized I wanted to be known as the fairy godmother of brand clarity and the one who swoops in, and helps the entrepreneurs finally see who they are, because they're so magical and amazing and wonderful human beings that work so incredibly hard and they have the ability to impact so much of our world positively. But also, what makes them different and how they should share it in a way that connects and is magnetic and really is authentic to them. Really understanding my one square inch was brand clarity for purpose-driven solopreneurs, really. That became the center of everything for us. And when I stopped chasing everyone else around that one square inch of my flag, that's when people started to remember me, Lisa. They started referring people to me and they started choosing me to do their branding and marketing. So if you're listening right now and you feel you're feeling a little all over the place, because raising my hand, I've been there. Lisa, I'm sure you've been there.
Oh, yeah.
I want you to pause and ask yourself, how do you want to be known? So I think there's a lot of myths around niching and how you want to be known. Being multi-passionate, which I am, a lot of the entrepreneurs I work with, doesn't mean that
Yeah.
your brand should be messy. Clarity is not the opposite of creativity. It's not. It's the container that lets it really shine bright. It magnifies it. It polishes it. It makes it glitter and sparkle because you really can sit in it for the first time and it not be as noisy because you're so clear. And it doesn't mean that just because I'm known for brand clarity, people aren't going to come to me for digital marketing. It doesn't mean that. They'll come to me anyway. Like, for example, I typically work with women, Lisa, women business owners. I want to help magnify women in this space and time. I feel like so many women are so incredibly smart, but they're all doing it on their own. Because we're fiercely independent, and that's the way it's always been, and whatever. But I feel like they need cheerleaders. They need these people around them to support them, lift them up, give them what they need to be more successful. And in that process of that, like really supporting them, my colors are pink and purple and blue, and I have sparkles and unicorns and magic and wands. And that speaks far more to the women in the world than the men. However, I love working with men too. It's not like I don't want to work with men. I just really focus my messaging and everything towards women. And right now I have two male clients that are very large clients of mine. One is an NFL pro football player. So talk about manly, manly, manly. So it doesn't mean that it's going to exclude people, but what it's going to show people is the kind of person you are, the kind of entrepreneur you are. So it's not limiting. It's just bringing the right people to you. So even though they're not necessarily my ideal target market, they are exactly the kind of entrepreneurs I want to work with. So don't
God,
feel like it's limiting.
this journey is so much like a business, but personal development, right? Everything you're saying, I'm like, oh my God, yeah. Once you really get clear on that, then you know that you got to work on this within yourself, and then you move to the next phase.
It is. It's like a self-help journey. It really is. Because not only once you get here and get really clear, I even kind of say that I wasn't very fun to be around when I was in the hustle and the grind and like doing everything for everyone. I was actually like working way too many hours and I was stressed out and I was miserable and I wasn't sleeping. And it was a rough go for my family. But being clear and being this excited and this in my magic and this space. I have so many very cool conversations that buzz like ours. Like it has created such an energetic shift in my life, in every aspect of my life. I am in the process of writing a book called Wickedly Branded. And my assistant's like, this is like a self-help book. And I said, it is kind of like a self-help journey on getting really clear with who you are and also being like for the first time proud of it and not hiding it. You're not too much. You're not, and you know, all those things that we've kind of tapped down over the years from society telling us what we can and cannot be or do or how we should be, all the shoulds that we talked about last episode, that you end up shooting all over yourself and then you're not actually doing anything you actually genuinely love or are good at.
Totally.
So I
Absolutely.
love that you made that connection because I do feel like there's this essence. It was a personal journey for me, absolutely, Lisa. Absolutely. A personal journey of imposter syndrome and perfectionism and all these limiting beliefs that I had to like reframe and harness and change to fully step into my magic. So yes, totally. So I have
So
a fun clarity map exercise. So again, if you're driving, please don't do this when you're driving. But I would love you to
perfect.
write three adjectives that you want people to feel when they interact with your brand. So many people talk about the customer journey and all the different steps and everything else, but we also talk about how do customers feel along your journey? How do you want them to feel? So I want you to feel like you've just experienced a little bit of magic when you spend time with me. I want it to feel like it's more than just marketing services. It is a transformation. So what stories? What client transformations or truths would you love to be known for? What do you want people to say about you? I feel like now we've trained, I don't know if it's trained, but because we're so good at our messaging, they now use words we love them to use. Like this is magic. This is magical. They are starting to take on the brand in a way that is exactly what you need from your brand. They've used words like, Beverly, you are magic. Like you can't, like that's the power of when you're intentional about the things. And to have a client say this process is magical and transformative, that is so powerful from a social proof perspective for people to see the kinds of transformations people are happening when they work with us. Like that isn't just a, oh yeah, so I did this thing and this happened. No, it was magical and transformational. Like that's gold in the marketing world. Plus, it's so affirming that you're doing the right thing when you hear it. Completely affirming. But the next thing I want you to do is fill in the blanks. When people think of me, I want them to say X. What is it that you want them to say about you? Because I help them do this thing. What is the thing that or the transformation you want them to have at the end? So fill that out. That's going to help you get clear. Because once you understand that part of it, now you can start writing messaging around it. So we do this. This is like, I think this is like a magical tip, a little spell you can use, is go deeper. Take all your testimonials you've ever had, put them into a Google Doc, and then drop that Google Doc into ChatGPT. And ask it things like, what patterns or phrases stand out about how people describe my work? Let your clients' words help shape your clarity. We are often so blind to our brilliance, Lisa. We are so stuck
Totally.
in the weeds. We cannot see up and over enough to have that clarity from the exact people we're helping day in and day out. Their words. Simon Sinek has a thing about your why. He has like a whole exercise where he says, ask your friends, the people who know you the best, not like your parents or like your kids, but like your friends that know you, the ones that choose to be in your life, right? Ask them questions like, why are you my friend? And they say, well, I like hanging out with you. Well, why do you like hanging out with me? Like, really ask them why they want to be with you in your life. This is what those testimonials do too. They really get to the why they choose you for business, why they like working with you. So we've gotten to the point now, this is a whole nother episode we could talk about, but how we get testimonials is absolutely integrated into our customer journey, and they're video testimonials. And they're
Oh, that's
oftentimes
beautiful.
15 to 20 minutes long, and we can take all these bits from those conversations, and those conversations become blog posts, FAQs, social posts, little snippets of video. I mean, and then we have the long video that we post as well on YouTube and put on our site and things like that. But we've actually integrated it into our process, and it is a videotaped. And we just ask them about their experience. And at the end, we say, can we use this as a testimonial? So they don't even know they're doing a testimonial at the time. They think we're just having a chat. So they're not like super nervous or whatever. It's very casual. We could do a whole episode on how we integrate that into our system, but
Wow, that's brilliant.
you can do this for yourself. And you can take those Google reviews, you can take the Yelp reviews, you can take the Facebook reviews, and you can put them into a document, master document to use for your marketing. It is gold for you.
Yeah, people
So,
really like to see that. They're other people's experiences with you, right? It gives that credibility.
social proof. It's like your own sales team without even having to have a sales team. It's lovely.
Yeah.
It's lovely. People get FOMO. If someone else is having that experience and they're not having that, they're like, wait, huh? I wouldn't have that experience. So it's awesome. And when you have a page full of video testimonials of people talking about you, they're probably not going to watch every single one. And I actually take out like a phrase for every single testimonial that I think is important, that I think that my ideal client's looking for to put underneath that they've kind of addressed. But it is so powerful to reinforce the kind of work that you do.
Absolutely.
The warning signs that you might lack clarity right now is you keep tweaking your bio. If you're tweaking your bio 10 times in a year, you're probably not very clear. If you go every month to create a content calendar to post or to do for the week or whatever, and you don't know what to post, you don't know where to start, whatever to do every month, probably lacking clarity. Because I can tell you right now, I have a thousand ideas because of the clarity I have. Even getting ready for this podcast, I was like, ooh, what can I talk about today? I was like, there's so many things I can talk
Oh,
about. And then if you feel drained doing your marketing, you're probably not clear. Because if you are showing up as yourself and all the things that love and you drive you and your passion and how you help people, you're not going to be drained. You're going to be so stoked and so excited. You're going to be on fire. So, do I know what I'm known for? Do you have clear content pillars to talk about, which I'll mention a little bit further? And is my content aligned with what I actually provide, what I actually sell? On average, this is the craziest statistic, Lisa. You talk about the shouting into the void and all of that. It takes 7 to 11 touch points before someone remembers your brand. And far
Crazy.
more to trust you enough to buy from you. So that means that repetition in your message and what you do and the consistency of that isn't annoying. It's actually absolutely necessary. Consistent messaging, visual branding, and presence are what people move from vaguely familiar to I need this now. I recently had a client say, I keep seeing your posts, and every time I felt like you were speaking directly to me. And after I think she said like 5 or 6 times, she finally said, okay, I need to actually reach out to her. Like it took her a few times to get there. But the idea was, is every time she saw me, she connected in some way, shape, or form with my content. The magic isn't just what you say, it's saying it often and clearly enough for it to finally land with the right people. So before we started talking about this, before you pushed record, I talked about how your brand, this is such a overused example, but it's such a good one in this example, in this particular scenario, is your brand is like a lighthouse. The clearer and more consistent your messaging is, the stronger the light beam is in the fog. So if you are not clear and consistent, it becomes weak and gets part of the fog, and it's a lot harder for people to find you if you're kind of weak in the fog. But the stronger and clear and more direct you are to your that particular, it's like a laser beam to them that draws them to you. So it helps the right people find you, find their way to you as the guide, as the person that's going to help solve their problem. So being clear and consistent and repetitive is important, but you don't have to say it the same thing every single time, but you need to be saying the same things often. So that's where the power of the content pillar comes in, that we're going to
Yes.
talk about in a minute. So.
But I know like a lot of people feel annoying. And I like how you said that. And we have to stop using being wordy. Like when we're speaking to people and when we're putting out content, the less is so much better. You know, like when I first started, oh my God, it was so painful. I can't even like it's embarrassing to think of. Like it was such a confusing message. People are like, whoa. You're just left with, okay, what? You know, what is she trying to tell us? So I love all that advice. That is such brilliance.
So I think that we think we have to say so much, and we think we have to use like these big fancy terms, and we have to sound super, super, duper smart, and we feel all this imposed pressure of this, but actually, in actuality, that's not what's gonna hit. It's not what's gonna connect. What's gonna connect is like your actual story and how you were in that situation and how you got yourself out and what you did and how you help your clients and your client stories of how you've helped them. Like that's the power. Everyday talk. I've said this before, I think to you, if not to you in other interviews, that I have a picture of my best friend on my computer, and I always think I'm like talking to her, not
That's
to some
beautiful.
obtuse thing. Like I'm not, it's not a speech, it's not a lecture, it's a chat, and I'm just sharing one part of my story. So make it connect to a human, don't make it connect to nothing. Like, nobody wants to be
Absolutely.
lectured or speeched at, or like, that's not fun at all. So, once I knew that I wanted to be known for brand clarity and all those things, Lisa, I built my, I say every brand should have 4 to 6 content pillars, the things that guide everything that I say and that I share. So I'm going to share mine, and you'll see it probably in the last two conversations we've had. Brand clarity and magic, marketing mindset and simplicity, visibility and momentum, storytelling and connection, purpose-driven strategies, and growth and legacy. So these are the areas that I own my little square inch, and I can go really, really deep on for those big-hearted, purpose-driven, service-based entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, mostly women, who are trying to help people do something amazing. So I love the helpers. I love the people who are therapists and yoga, and like the people who are helping the world. And when I can help them magnify their voices, really shine that beam out, it magnifies their impact on the world. And when they magnify their impact, they help so many more people have calm and bliss and health and wellness and so many good things. That just makes our world better, Lisa. So, like, to me, that
Absolutely.
hits hard. Yeah. So these pillars are my filter for everything. Everything. It's my permission slip to be consistent and creative in those 6 key areas. So I say list 10 things that you talk about or get asked about constantly. List those 10 things out. And then group them into themes, like 4 to 6 categories that naturally just emerge. They will emerge. They will reveal themselves. And then define in one sentence, this is where I talk about visibility and momentum. This is where I talk about branding and magic. And then what I would say under each of those 4 to 6. Oh, this very fancy camera, Lisa, went a little tight again. Like, it's very
Yeah,
dramatic.
I was like, she is magical because look at her camera's moving.
It's very dramatic when it happens too. Then define each one in one sentence. Okay, so we did that. And then I want you to brainstorm 3 ideas under every single pillar. And if you do that, Lisa, you've outlined your next 30 days of content.
So can you repeat that? What are the
Yeah.
steps?
List 10 things that you talk about or get asked about all the time from your customers, your friends, online, wherever it is. Group them into themes.
Okay.
4 to 6 categories that will naturally just emerge. And then define each of those categories to a sentence. Like, this is where I talk about blah, 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 whatever that is. So for me, we talk about brand clarity and magic. I'm going to talk about the Wizard of Oz. I'm going to talk about whatever that is, the story that I'm telling. And then once you have those 4 to 6 categories, underneath each category, brainstorm 3 ideas for each of those pillars. We call them pillars because they are the foundation of your content. And if you do that exercise, you will have the next 30 days of content. And I promise you'll start to do the 3 ideas, and there'll be 10 ideas under each category before you know it. And then you'll have actually like a legitimate content calendar for yourself. And we've talked about repurposing content in the past.
Right.
So once you do a blog post on that particular topic, then you can break it out and make it a video script. You can make it a social media post. You can make it a carousel. You can make it so many other things underneath it. That one piece of content can now, like, that one legitimate blog could be your email for the month, can be, you know, 2 or 3 Instagram posts, 2 or 3 Facebook posts, a LinkedIn post. Like, you've got so much content in that. And like, I started out with like 101 style blog posts. Like, I went into the very basics, define things. And then I went to like 201 style posts where I was like, okay, now we're going to do activations and some exercises. And then 301 style posts, just like you're in school, right? Now it's going to be a little bit more practical. Like, how do we do audits and things like that? Like, I'm actually giving them more in-depth type content. So you can go as deep as you want in there. And I have one post, I think it's last week it posted. It's all about confidence. And in there, I have several Podcast episodes I've been on about it. I have several blog posts that I've talked about with confidence. I have like there's so I have some downloads about confidence I have in there. Like now I have so much content around it that's become a cornerstone content for me to share. So anytime I talk about confidence now, I can just share that one link and it has all this other stuff that kind of feeds into it and really helps it be a really robust. And the next thing it's going to be is a chapter in a book.
Beautiful.
So you can just take that content and just build. Again, these are pillars. They're foundational. You are laying foundational pieces to become an authority and an expert in your field. And the more you talk about these four to six categories, you will be known for that and you will be the authority. And when someone says, oh, I'm really struggling. I can't figure out what I need to be doing. I feel like I'm shouting into the void. Oh my gosh, you need to talk to Beverly. She's going to be able to help you. You'll be the one they think of to be the referral for you. But you have to really get intentional about that foundation. Otherwise, it is shaky and you don't know what you're supposed to do. And it becomes really messy and confusing. And if you're confused, I promise you, your client is confused. So the more clarity you have, the more clarity they'll have.
Do you have any quick tips before you move on to the next section about organization of that stuff?
Oh, I love that question, Lisa. That's so good. So I am very systems and process oriented. So I have like a legitimate library. We have we use a content management system or a project management system called Monday. So you can use Asana, Trello, Notion. There's many of them out there that fits whatever you fit. I just happen to like Monday, and Asana is probably my second favorite. But in there, I actually have a content library where we have like our cornerstone content laid out. I have links to everything. I have like everything is really well laid out so that I can easily go and find the content. Plus, if you put it on a blog, there's searchability, on your website, usually for blog topics. You can always go back. But yes, you have to be organized. You could even just, if you don't have a content management system, Excel is your friend. You can totally put it in Excel by content pillar, add the topics underneath when you posted a blog. If you have, so the thing is that once you create, I don't know, 300 pieces of content related to your four to six content pillars, you can repurpose those. No one's going to remember that one post from last year, 7 months ago that you said about the thing. Like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. So every year we have these, like, I don't know, 10 or 20 posts that go out every year. Around this time, we'll be talking about like Father's Day promotions and things like that. So I have a blog about Father's Day promotions. I have that's content that is long living, evergreen content that you can use again and again. But every year I do go in and I tweak it and I might add something. Like I will make sure that it's still up to date with what's happening. Maybe there's one section that I'm like, oh, we didn't really, talk about that. We should talk about that one thing. That'd be really cool if we added that to it. So it's not like starting from scratch every year. You have like the
Right.
skeleton of content you've created that you can keep adding muscle to every year. Over and over again. And then once you add those new elements, you could add another piece of content around that into your library. So Canva is really great too. If you use Canva, we have it set up by month. So all of our Instagram posts are like May Instagram posts, and we just stack them on top of each other. So in that we go back next year and then we can just look and say, what do we want to do again? What do we don't? It's really easy then. So your first year or two of content creation, once you figure out your content pillars and your clarity and all the things, is a little bit of heavy lifting. But once you have it, it's like a machine, and you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel on it. Did that answer your question, Lisa? I don't know if I did or not.
Yeah, no, that absolutely works. I just know, like, for people starting out or people who are unorganized, not knowing where to put that stuff, right? Because there's so much stuff. But I like how you said you really it would help. It helps you get clear on your pillars, what you're needing to do, and then just start grouping them. Like, start grouping them into sections, like you said, month to month, label everything. And then you can really go back to them. So that works. And it helps to know that there's programs out there And I like that you suggested a few that you liked that people can look for and look to if they're struggling with organization.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't done that so far, what I would say is even start go back into like the last year's content, Lisa, and look at the best performing content. And that would be the
Right.
things that you'd want to put into your evergreen library right away and then build from there. So that may be a
Beautiful.
place too to help you find your top content pillars is to go back and see those high performing connecting posts that people are engaging in with. And that might be a good place to start too if you're completely feeling lost.
Beautiful. So let's talk about owning our own niche.
Ooh, this is
So
a scary topic.
yeah, let's talk about that one. Like, what's the power in doing this?
Oh, so
Gosh.
I feel like so many creatives, myself included, get really scared of the word niching because we want to do all the things for all the people and we don't want to limit the things. But choosing a niche is not about limitation. I feel like it's about liberation. It's not about boxing yourself in, it's giving your people a place to find you. I say the wicked truth because I like, we're wickedly branded. The wicked truth is people trust specialists far more than generalists. And when you own that square inch that we talked about and you go the mile deep, you become far more unforgettable. But if you're doing all the things, we kind of alluded this to the last episode, like you contribute to the noise. You just become noisy. You just become the noise. And it's like people tune you out because there's nothing significant in there for them that's not really connecting. But when you have a niche and you create messaging, those 4 to 6 content pillars are written exactly for that person who is, for us, bold, heart-centered, more purpose-driven, female solopreneurs, when that message is for them. So I talk a lot about, building my business in the messy middle of being a mom and being a wife and those kinds of things. And I use my kids' examples of confidence and things like that in my content because other moms are going to see this content and going to connect. And I would love to work with a mom who has a business because I know exactly what it's like to do that. But if my client is a mom and I start talking about men, and it's probably not going to connect the way it should. Like, that's just not specifically for them. So now they're gonna be like, well, maybe she isn't for me. The thing, I think we actually talked about this last time, like Mel Robbins and those people, what they talk about like resonates because we're all living those things. Like
Yeah.
it's exactly the problems, the issues, the things that we are struggling with right now that she's bringing to the table. She's talking about menopause, she's talking about anxiety, she's talking about all these things that really connect, spirituality. All the things that I feel like we are all as women in our midlives, all wanting more of or less of,
Totally.
anxiety less of, but those kinds of things. So she speaks to us as a person. She shares a ton of stories of her journey. And I think that's what connects us to it too. And we talked a lot about storytelling last time. So some things to consider when you're like really thinking about your niche. Is who do I serve best? In all the people that I've helped, who have I helped the best, the most? And who have I most enjoyed working with too? Like there's like your favorites that you work with that like those are some awesome
Oh,
people and I want to
100%.
work with more with them. And if you could just work with them, gosh, wouldn't it be so cool? If I could just have 100 of them, oh, it would be the best business ever. That's the kind of thing you want to look at. And then what problem am I really solving? What are you really doing for them? So for me, I was like, oh, I'm doing marketing. But no, I wasn't really doing marketing. I was doing clarity and I was helping with confidence and I was helping with like their authenticity. I was helping them find things that they just didn't know they already had inside of them. And then what do I really care about? So I really care about those women who are moms kicking butt and changing the world. That is what I care about. And then if you don't have testimonials, to help you get to that place with the ChatGPT exercise I gave, where you can throw that into there and get some words and some phrases and some trends and things like that. Ask 3 of your favorite clients, maybe buy them coffee, and ask them a few questions. What changed for you? What was life like before me? And what was life like after the services I offered you? And we went through that process. What changed for you after we worked together? What was it like working with me? What would you tell other people about this process? Who do you think needs this? And then from there, you can draft what we call in marketing, it's a very fancy term, a positioning line, a positioning statement. And that would be like, I am the go-to person, business, whatever it is, I'm the go-to branding, a fairy godmother for the audience. So purpose-driven, big-hearted solopreneur females who need brand clarity and digital marketing services. So you want to say, I'm the go-to person for the audience you want to serve, the exact people who need, and whatever the transformation is that you offer. So that they need brand clarity, they need clear confidence, they need connection, they need momentum to be able to really sit into their digital marketing.
Yeah, like getting so clear on that. So then when people look at your title, they're like, that's what she does. So many times I look at people's, bio and I'm like, okay, so they're like a magical unicorn of all of these things. Well, what are they specializing in? Right? Like, so I'm like, I really don't know. So if you're looking at other people's stuff and you're confused by that, then like have a look at your own and say, okay, is it clear what I'm saying? What am I putting out there? What am I promising people when they want to work with me? So I love that.
Yeah, and I think when you say that, well, I know when you say that and you get really clear, it can feel a little scary at first, but when you go and lean into that, gosh, everything becomes so much easier when you're developing the content, Lisa. When you're doing the content, when you're doing those 4 to 6 pillars, when you're thinking about even for your business, is this the best choice for this particular client and this transformation that I'm offering? It becomes kind of like guardrails for you. It is, and I feel like I need to even niche further. Like I'm always like, how can I do it more? Because the more I can get super clear on that, the better my content will hit every time. Absolutely.
I'm literally picturing you after you meet with someone who you get a good service from, and I'm picturing you looking them up, and they have a really confusing niche, and you must be like, "Oh my God, they're so good in this area. I need to help them immediately."
I oftentimes I'm like, oh, you're so good at this thing. And they're like, oh. And I'm like, no, wait, listen to me. You're so good at
Exactly.
this one thing. I really would love you to think about it for a minute. I can never turn it off, Lisa. It's definitely a curse and a blessing at the same time. My husband says you can never turn it off. I'm always looking at, I mean, we drive and I'm looking at the billboards and I'm looking at the menus and I'm looking at everything when we go out. So it is kind of a thing, but I feel like clarity of words, clarity of message, clarity of niche, clarity of content, those become superpowers when you have them.
Are 100% superpowers. You're right.
They're so strong. And it emboldens you and gives you a whole different level of confidence to like conquer the world because you just know who you're, what you're supposed to do, and you're living your purpose and you're doing your thing and you're helping people. And that there's so th that again is affirming. Like when I hear my clients talk about the transformation, I was telling my therapist this. It's like, it's so affirming to know that like I am making a difference in the world. And that before I started asking for testimonials or asking for that, I just assumed the work would speak for itself. And so many people who are hard workers feel this way, Lisa. Like we just feel like we just want to do the work. And I'm not egotistical. I do not like to be like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever that I did this thing. Like even my husband will talk about some things like I wrote a book and things like that. And I'm like, oh, just stop. Don't. Like, I don't, that's not the reason why I wrote the book. I wrote the book for myself, really, to say I could do it. It was a promise to myself. Like something that I was scared of, that I felt imposter syndrome for and perfectionism with. And I said, I'm just going to do it. And it was a thing, it was a challenge to myself. So there are things that when you work hard, you don't necessarily want all the glory and the fame. But what's been a really nice side effect is asking for some of that has been so affirming for myself, but also for our team and for our processes. and just that we're doing the right things. And as a business owner, knowing you're doing the right things, it's like a deep sigh of relief because we work so hard and we care so deeply about what we do that we want to do the right things. So I don't think it is a little bit of a different twist to put yourself out there to talk about the things that you love and talk about what you're doing. But when it comes from a servant heart, I believe, when it comes to serving and helping others, and when you want, and when that's the intention always, is to help magnify others, that is a most amazing, dare I say, magical thing
Yeah.
that can happen when you're doing work that you love. So yes. So I mean, that is to me been a revolutionary thing that's happened in my life.
Yeah, a lot of like people like you who have that loving servant heart, serving heart, don't like to gloat about it and talk about it. But when it's coming from some like a good place, you need to own that. And then let's be real. You need monetary funds. You need funds to run a business. So we got to get better at, sharing and screaming our wins with everybody because we need money to thrive. We need money. You need money to grow your business that you can help even more people. So we just got to learn to own that, be better at that. That's advice to myself. I'm speaking to myself right now, too.
I want to speak to you right now. When you are clear on what you do and how you help people, you also have more confidence to raise your prices and to really have the value of what you bring. So many of us kind of charge per hour and say, this is the hourly charge that we're worth. But that doesn't take into account all the experience, all the education, all the wisdom that we have gotten through our just living. And that you can't break down to hourly. And so that is something too I work really hard with my our clients is them seeing the value of the work and the impact they can make with the money that they make, whether it's hiring more people and giving them a good wage and good life, a standard of living, or you're able to now donate more to your community and able to help prop it up because where we live matters. You know, there's so many ripple effects that can happen when you're successful. And the ability, when you are sitting in your zone of genius and doing what you're supposed to be doing, the energy you have for the world is so different. And that does need to be taken care of. You do need vacations. You do need a massage. You do need these things to help you stay in your zone of genius and in your energy. And that, unfortunately, does cost money. So, yes, you do. You have value in this. So yes, Lisa, I'm over here saying to you that you are worth that, and that's important. And that when you are clear and you have clarity, it does give you more power in that as well.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the consistency and trust. I know you've talked about it a little bit, but let's go in on that.
So consistency is not about being everywhere. Remember, I was everywhere to everything and did all the things and I was exhausted
Yeah.
soul and all of that.
Or that person that's like all the things that I mentioned earlier.
Yes. Shouting to the voids. Oh, no, I'm there.
Yeah. I'm all the things.
I can solve all the problems right here, right now.
Yeah.
It is not about being everywhere. And I want to say it one more time. It is not about being everywhere. It's about being memorable in the right places. I think in the last episode, we talked a little bit about this too. I know people who've had thousands and thousands of Instagram followers and no engagement, no interactions, nothing, right? Like they're shouting into the void, literally. And then people who have 400, this is your niche, 400 right people following you and they sell out of everything.
Yeah, that's magic.
That is magic. And it is that they're memorable to those people. So what feels like repetition to you is just finally becoming recognizable to your audience. Seth Godin says something. He says, it's about having a brand promise and delivering the brand promise over and over and over again. That is your rhythm. That is your who you are. That is your four to six content pillars. That is your brand promise. And then you need to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And you may feel like it's repetitive to you, but it's actually becoming recognizable to your audience. So what I say is pick one platform. It could be email, it could be a podcast, it could be Instagram, it could be LinkedIn, wherever your niche is the most prevalent. Or maybe it's even, I would even say this too. It could also be where you get the most traction right now. Where's the most activity? Like, this is a low-hanging fruit, Lisa. I'm not telling you to do something new. I don't want you to do what you already are doing well and lean harder into that thing. Greater rhythm. So Monday is a tip from a content pillar. Wednesdays are, let's say, a client story. Friday could be a simple CTA for something you're working on, whatever that looks like for you. It could be a download, it could be a business, a process, or something that you have to offer. You want to do 80% educational, infotainment, fun, personal stories, things like that, and 20% business selling to create a nice rhythm for yourself. But you can create a content bank for ideas that you can come up in over and over again. So when you're having client conversations, when you're doing the actual servicing of clients, when you are in yoga sessions, when you are in your photography sessions, when you're doing accounting for a client and they're having questions that come up every week, that's content. So have a sheet of paper, have a note on your phone where you can constantly be adding these ideas into your content pillars, and you'll see where they actually will emerge into the pillars again and again and again and again. And I seriously, that's how I got my content pillars was I just kept hearing the same things from my clients. What do they need? What are they talking about? What are they worried about? What's keeping them up at night? What is the most stressful thing? What is the most exciting thing that they're working on? What is like really listening to your clients is your content bank. And you deal with them every single day, every single week, and just pull from those conversations. And while it seems really basic to you and to me, like the things we talk about all the time, brand clarity is like so clear to me. It is not clear to everyone. Basic accounting is not clear to everyone. Basic
I just
yoga,
lifted my hand
yeah.
up.
Basic yoga is not clear to everyone. Basic photography, how to pose, what to do, that's not clear to everyone. You live it and breathe it, and you take it for granted.
100%.
So, really lean into those conversations, those frequently asked questions, frequently the frequent conversations you're having with your clients. Listen, and just take that. And then you can even say, "I was talking to a client today." That's a great way to make a post. And this is what happened, because that's going to hit for somebody else who's going through the same exact thing. So, I think being a really good listener is really powerful to build your content bank and to be fully present, and then really make sure that you are consistent in rhythm, like post every couple of days, post every 3 days, whatever works for you on that one platform that is, but make a promise to yourself, I'm going to just do this thing, I'm going to go all in. And I promise you, in a year, you will be 1,000 times better than you were when you first started. Because now you know, you're looking at your metric, you're seeing what's hitting, what's not hitting. You're going to know. And then you're going to be an expert in that particular platform for your particular niche on your particular content. I'm with you, Lisa. The first videos I did, ooh, super cringy, super awful. Very rigid, very. I felt like I had to be so polished and perfect and all the things.
Oh
But
my
now I'm
God,
far more conversational, far more real, pulling from. I have this list of like 10 to 20 stories of client experiences I can pull from all the time that really help fit into all of our content pillars. So I've married everything up to fit within this content pillars for the niche that tell the story, that give good examples, that are perfect for talks like this, for podcasts like this, for meeting somebody at a networking event, for blog posts, for so much of what we do. So, yes, it
There's a content idea right there. I've actually kept my very first video that I released on social media, and I use it to humble myself sometimes and to like show myself how far I've come. And there's a
masochist.
tell, yes, just like this is an example of what it used to be, then where I've come, and like you can do it too, right? Like I love that.
Yes.
But I'm embarrassed when I watch it. I'm literally like, ah, it's so
So cringy, right? It is
cringy.
so cringy. And I think even watching yourself on video and hearing your voice is horrifying anyway. But when you look
Yes.
back at the first ones, but everyone started
So.
somewhere. Mel Robbins started somewhere. I bet you her first video, same. Mr. Beast, his first you it took him 1,000 videos to become
Yeah.
to hit 1,000 YouTube. That is becoming an expert on YouTube, 1,000 videos.
Crazy.
Yeah. So nobody, how many shots did Michael Jordan make before he actually became consistent? Like it takes a lot of practice. Practice
Totally.
is progress. Perfectionism is going to get in the way every single day. You just got to do it. You just got to put one step in front of the other and try it. And people will, your humanity is actually very endearing. So, like, people really, they connect with that on such a deep level. Like your cringy video and my cringy video, you know, that's human. That is humanity right there. So, be more bold. Take that next step, practice, try, progress. That's key.
That is 1,000% key. So, what do you think is one thing before we end this episode today that people can start doing today to get clear on how they want to be known and connect deeper with their brand and their audience? One thing.
Oh,
No pressure.
right. Because it's like five things we've talked about today. You know, it's getting clear, it's defining the content pillars, it's claiming your niche, it's choosing that one place to show up consistently over and over again, and repeating your message until it echoes is so key. I think if I was talking to one of my clients who asked that question, Lisa, what I would answer is, let's go to your testimonials first. Let's see what people are saying. So dig in to those testimonials. And if you don't have testimonials, start asking for testimonials. I have a great blog on I might even have it as a podcast, I can't remember, all about how to ask for testimonials on my website. But the idea is that it becomes part of your customer journey.
100%.
And if they've talked to you about something, then you write the testimonial for them. Send them a link to your Google reviews and say, hey, I took what you said, I kind of distilled it into a paragraph or two, being very strategic about SEO and all those things,
Yeah.
and the keywords you want to be known for. And then send it to them and say, feel free to make any changes, but it would mean a lot to me if you posted this on Google so that more people like you will trust in the process and will work with me. And I've never had anybody say no because it's super easy. But that is how you will get a lot of information from your clients about what you're doing and if it's working for them. So just lean into those testimonials, listen to what they're saying, use ChatGPT to help you find some of the things that are in parallel or that are seen again and again, because that's going to be where the magic is. That's going to be where some clarity sits for you on either the way they feel when they work with you, the problem that you solve, or the system you provide, the transformation you provide offers. And then once you have that, that's the first piece of clarity you need to then go and define the content pillars. Maybe from that, you can even ask ChatGPT, based on these testimonials, what would be the best 4 to 6 content pillars for me? That's the best place to start. But you also want to do just with anything with ChatGPT, it has to connect to you. If it doesn't feel right to you, then it's not the right pillar. Again, maybe
Yes.
that's your messaging, or maybe something has to change with how you do your customer journey or something, so that the right thing that does connect with you is the pillar going forward. So it will teach you so much, whether it's exactly the target you want or the one that you don't want. And in the one that you don't want is also clarity. Because now you know it's not that thing. So that's still
Exactly.
clarity. Yeah.
Amazing. So, where can people find you?
So I'm Beverly Cornell, Cornell. I'm on LinkedIn and all the socials, but my business is wickedlybranded.com. So you can go there. If you're ready to take a first bold step today, a great thing might be to take our free brand clarity quiz. If you go to our website, within 10 seconds, it pops up, and it's just like 3 minutes to take it. And it's really designed to help you uncover where your clarity is hidden. So it's a great first step. I would love to give everyone a permission slip today. I'm writing it right now. Lisa, you have permission. You don't need to prove your worth by doing everything. You just need to own the one thing that you're truly here to lead with, and trust that clarity will do so much of the heavy lifting for you.
Was amazing chatting with you again and listening to your wisdom and the sparkle that you bring. So thank you so much for being here today. It's just honestly like a lot of really good points and advice that a lot of people struggle with. So I invite our listeners to like listen to this episode again and again and again and like and share so other people can, have the clarity, no pun intended, that they need to thrive. Because when you're unclear, you just feel so stuck. So thank you so much.
Lisa, thank you for holding space for this kind of conversation, because I don't know, I think a lot of people are talking about this. They're so heads in the weeds. It's so important to kind of put the head up for a little bit and look forward and out and up. So, but to everyone who's listening, your brand magic already lives inside of you. But now it's time for you to intentionally own it, step into it. And everything we talked about today, clarity and consistency and your niche and everything, that fuels your momentum. So when you know how you want to be known, and when you own your square inch, and when you show up with intention, you're no longer chasing momentum. You are building it. Each post and every conversation, every moment that you repeat your magic, it's stacking that foundation. It's compounding and creating these amazing waves that push the business forward again and again and again. You don't need to push harder. Absolutely not. You just need to be clear and stay rooted and let your brand rise to meet you. You don't need to prove your worth by doing everything, and you just need to own the one thing that you're truly here to lead with, and that, and trust that clarity will do the big lifting for you going forward with your business. And I wish you so much success in this, and these clarity moments that you're going to have over the next couple of weeks, because you're going to go back to this conversation and something's going to be like, yeah, that Beverly said that thing. And that is what that clarity looks like for me. And that's going to be one step closer. It's so empowering. So I'm just so excited for you to have some of those moments in the coming days and weeks.
Well, everyone, you just heard from Beverly Cornell, and we are now going to set her free so she can go make some more magic with that magic wand of hers. So, thanks again. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. We just appreciate and love you guys so much. Until next time, my name is Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. Go create some magic, guys. Bye.